I'm Kelly Gordon, and I'm here with Stephen Berchet. I think the first thing that I would like to ask, because this is a podcast, is if you will describe your work that's in the show called Neither There Nor There.
Yes. it's quite simply a computer program that runs a visual over across, back and forth across two monitors, and that is a self-portrait. And what's happening is the pixels are migrating both to and fro between two images of me. Well, actually, it's one image of me that's migrating back and forth between two monitors. So the exact amount of pixels is only enough to make up one solid image, but that image is continuously disrupted and migrated back and forth.
And where were you when this notion came about, and how did this work come into being?
Oh, wow. That's a hard question. I think, I guess at base level, the piece is about sort of location and the location of, like, for you to ask me where I was when that piece came about is sort of what it's about. And at the time, I was actually... I was in a residency in Amsterdam, and but I was also on the internet a lot, and I was also on my cell phone a lot. So the question of location was, I think, something that was just implicit in my experience at that time.
And how and where was it shot?
Sure. Yeah, it was just a photograph shot in the studio that I had at this residency. If you look at the piece, there's actually some acrylic paint jars and things like that in my attempts to make a painting that summer. But
and those parts don't migrate. Is that particularly significant? And also, what does your studio look like? I mean, I'm imagining that it's not in the conventional sense of a studio with painting and sculpture things around.
Well, it sort of is, actually. Yeah. I just actually did make... my first painting in about 16 years that I exhibited. Yeah. So there are things around, and I think I'm always kind of, I always have a kind of a back and forth relationship with materiality, and I think that that's one of the things that my work addresses, you know?
What's a departure point for your works? Is it a sketch, or is it notes, or is it photographic? Is there something that you do
does
everything come from a different place?
No, almost everything comes from spending a lot of time programming, and playfully programming, and programming without directive. I write code and cannibalize that code, and that migrates back and forth between being maybe images or visualizations for potentially for sculptures or to animations. And that is those worlds are mixing more and more in my process. But yeah, ultimately everything is derived from computer space.
Well, and as a self-portrait, which is one of my questions, is it really, or is it also kind of a psychic portrait of how people are in two places at once, or more places at once today, thanks to things cell phones and computers and whatever, where you're never sure where the other person necessarily is? Mm-hmm. And because in terms of actual information about your physiognomy or something like that, mm-hmm. in fact, when we were meeting you today, we were saying, well, are we going to be able to pick him out of the crowd on having seen this?
Of course, yeah.
So what were your choices in terms of what you used as the image representing you?
Right.
What was your process for choosing, really?
Okay.
Because you're not addressing the camera per se. You're kind of looking down at the cell phone.
Yeah, I'm looking into another screen.
Yeah.
So I guess in some ways that would be, it becomes then a triangle. So rather than the bilateral relationship between the two me's that is in the self-portrait, then you have the triangle that I think implicates the viewer looking at a screen and looking at somebody on a screen, looking at yet another screen. And I think it's maybe even assumed that there might be another layer of that on the screen that I'm looking at. I think that it's at essence about a kind of dematerialized feeling, and I think that that's a bit of a paradox, and it comes with its benefits and its disadvantages, you know? But I think on the whole, I mean, that seems to be the kind of a basic element of the human project, which is ultimately a dematerialization, an overcoming of our environment, right? A disappearance of day and night, disappearance of time, complete. But then that starts to look and feel almost like death, which is the kind of irony, I think, in the whole thing. We were talking even earlier about rapture and the structure of the show, right?
Well, and it seemed very natural to dreams, and it, in many ways, for the layers that you describe, mm-hmm. because in this exhibition, one of the things we're trying to affect is an experiential exhibition where instead of having a particularly didactic theme that right. people sort of float through in a way, and this right. becomes such a perfect emblem of how it feels to be in the world today, waking and sleeping.
Yeah.
And I don't know how, if you feel that the dreams overview mm-hmm. is applicable. In many cases, we've selected works where the artist sort of was like, what, you know, how does this work fit into your show?
Yeah. Maybe the red herring a little bit was the cinema effect and that direct relationship to dreams rather than just dreams itself. But I guess the cinema would be, in essence, like the mechanization of dreams. So, and once we started having a bit of a dialogue via email, then that started to be understood much more by me. And I think it ultimately will communicate maybe less didactically and more experientially, right? Yeah.
How did you decide on the scale of it? Because in reproduction and in presentations right. of this work before right. it was here,
right.
some of my other colleagues were presuming that it was of a much more massive scale than it is in
right.
fact. And how did you determine, since the images themselves are so beautifully colorful
right.
and the concept is so mesmerizing, mm-hmm. how did you decide that it should be really more intimate than grand scale?
Oh yeah, if anything it would be smaller, I think, if possible, but a lot of the parameters of my work come about pretty naturally by what is fairly ready-made or consumer grade technologically. And so those were like the kind of the most, the smallest but maybe most prosaic kind of screens that I could find. If there were a smaller screen that achieved because the resolution of
yeah.
the animation is essential, that you can actually witness the migration of the image pixel by pixel. So that just was the smallest screen where that would still be achievable before your ability to perceive that would break up at any smaller of a screen.
Well, for me, when I watch it, not mm-hmm. only is it mesmerizing and become almost sort of zen-like, but it also is this fantastic marker of time. It feels like an hourglass
yeah.
where the bits are moving from one side to the other.
Yeah.
And a lot of the works in the show and a lot of the reference to dreams, too, is this disorientation of time.
Mm-hmm.
And It was that a conscious part of it, or did that, was it incidental, or
I
know it's hard to pinpoint exactly where something came from, and also
right.
as you're building it changes a little bit too.
Yeah, it becomes hard to separate the organs from the body in a way, right? I mean, and even ideologically. And I think that, again, that's implicit in the piece itself, right? These pixels are meaningless without their context in a way.
Well, and how do you feel this particular work fits within your work in general
mm-hmm.
and what you're doing right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think what I'm doing right now and one of the things that I've been pursuing with increasing interest is abstraction, and abstraction from what I like to think of as more of a deterministic or a didactic reasoning behind a work, like so to conceive of the work prior to its fabrication. So that piece, in some ways, stays in this perpetual flux, and it's that space that I think has been a long time pursuit in my work. We were talking earlier that about my relationship to sort of monumental sculpture, as my father is a metal fabricator, and that was the that was the kind of paradigm of art making that I grew up very young understanding, you know, and so a gravitation away from that, but in continuous dialogue with that, that idea of malleable form, or and then the relationship of time arts to that, the relationship of video and time-based media to that is something that I think is, yeah, that's the dialogue in a way, you know.
And when you've seen this particular work installed in different places, because it has been shown
sure.
now a couple different places, what surprised you most, or what surprised you most when you finished it and saw it from your conception to the finished point?
I guess it's less about, again, it's less about being surprised by it as a whole, and more by making it a place that is continuously meditative slash mesmerizing, you know? So I guess what surprised me much, and maybe this sounds is my ability to stay with it, and to make, when I feel like I know that I'm on the right track when I really want to spend time with my own work, you know, as a viewer, when I step outside the role of an author and really have given, made a piece that has a certain life of its own that I can then bear witness to.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned life of its own, because for a non-art maker like mm-hmm. myself, it feels as though these works in a way are sort of children that go out in the world and have their own life.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when you see them again, it's, you know, like, how much do you recognize them or not? And on that kind of idea, and the notion of self-portrait, do you mm-hmm. have in the back of your mind anywhere that there should be a series of self-portraits at different points in your life using whatever medium is particularly interesting to you? Do you imagine, or you haven't?
No, this is
one. Does that
one,
feel like?
Well, this is one in a continuous series of self-portraits, and they seem to come out, every year or two. Sort of, there's some sort of summation of, I guess the self-portraits serve as a way of me sort of implicating myself into my practice, and how does that change or evolve over time will be an ongoing point of interest, I think.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Oh. No problem. Thank you.